Hi everybody, it's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and this morning I'm talking to Colette and Panache from the Elm Foundation. Hi.
Hello.
It's lovely to meet you. I've not spoken to you two before. So you deliver the Changes Programme, don't you?
Well, yeah, we deliver the Changes Programme in Chesterfield and Derby.
Because we've spoken to other organisations that also deliver changes. So we do know a little bit about it, but it's working with people who want to change their behaviours, isn't it?
It's working with perpetrators that have took responsibility and accountability for their abusive behaviours and want to make a change to their life to kind of better themselves, and also, you know, for them to recognise the effects that it has on their children and their partners as well, and the wider society as well.
So just before we started recording, I mentioned the previous podcast we'd done was with a woman who delivered changes. So you've got Panache, who's a man who delivers changes. So how do you find that?
I feel like maybe I'm able to kind of create a different kind of connection with the perpetrators, which can be like a good thing and a bad thing as well. Because obviously, like, the kind of issues we talk about are gender-based issues. So then when they see me, they view me as someone like who's kind of on their side, or someone who views it from their perspective.
They want you to go along with it.
That's like the potential danger where they can, you know what I mean? You know, it's like kind of stuff like that. So then that gives like a potential barrier, but then it also gives like potential learning as well. Because if they can see someone who's like them or is a male as well, and they're viewing something that's completely different, it's more potential for them to learn from a male's perspective. So it's just not, I'm just feeling attacked, I'm feeling that. I kind of see like a familiar figure or someone who's able to voice things in a way that they can understand a bit more. So it gives the potential for learning. There's also risks involved as well, where they can like enable them even more.
I think a good example is, because part of what we teach or try to make the men learn is about, part of the module is male privilege. And I think you had a good trying to speak to someone about male privilege, and he just and the person just couldn't see that male privilege existed.
Right.
So you really had to get different resources to explain to him, didn't you?
Yeah, we do like this thing called like the power control wheel, which kind of shows like different bits of abuse and stuff, and one of those was male privilege, and he had no idea that thing existed. So I just try to relate to, like, sometimes it's like a race thing as well. We've kind of heard of white privilege before. And so that's just try to explain that, you know, as a man in society, we're just sometimes just generally more, we have things going our way a bit more. Maybe like in school, like we learn more employable
subjects. To do jobs where you earn more money than women earn. So.
Even like in sports, I remember, so like with football, in every school, men or boys have a football team they can join. But in a lot of schools, actually, no. Women's teams, especially the Lionesses and stuff, how they've performed well, and they were kind of going on about how in school they could have to play with the boys, etc. So trying to kind of, that was like a side of male privilege which he didn't realise.
I didn't even think of that. That's, you've really spelled that out in a way that's quite easy to understand, and I'd not thought of that. And also, I'm guessing, coming from a man talking about male privilege, it would feel really odd having a woman going on about male privilege and shoving it down their throats, like,
especially because this was in the assessment groups, and so it's quite early on.
Yes.
It's a 26-week programme. So already they might have a certain view of women. So then a woman coming in and saying, and you've got male privilege, I think it's not better, but they're perhaps more likely to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Coming from a male.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It sounds like you're doing some amazing work. We did actually do a podcast with a man who'd been through the Changes programme in another area, which was really interesting. So, yeah, I really feel like the Changes programme is going to make some changes.
Yeah,
the clues in the name. How would someone get onto one of your Changes programmes then?
We get most of our referrals are social care referrals.
Right.
But we've had some from drug and alcohol services. We've had some self-referrals. So it's contacting the helpline.
Yep.
And then they'll sort of send out the referral form and filling it in, and the address is on it to come back to us. And then we'll sort of make the contacts from there. if it is a social care referral, we'll have a consultation with social care just so we get a full background of what's been going, you know, a whole picture of what's been going on in the life. So it's a very much a victim-led service. So if someone's referred in and they're going to have an assessment, we'll let the partner safety worker, we'll call them up, make, you know, introduce themselves, introduce the program. Say your partner or your ex-partner has been referred to this program. We're letting you know first out of courtesy. His assessment's on such and such a date. We'll call you after the assessment and let you know whether he's proceeding onto the group or not. If he is proceeding, then the partner or ex-partner could get up to 12 months support as well to coincide with it. So, and yeah, they don't know. Some accept it, some just want a phone call, some want lots of support. So, you know, very much, if it's an ex-partner, they very much don't really want anything more to do with him. But I always think if there's children involved, if they've got children between them, it's good for you to know how he's doing for the sake of your children. So even if it's just an update once a week. So yeah, referrals can come from anywhere really. And it's quite a robust assessment progress. So if you want to talk about what's asked on the assessment.
Panache. Yeah, so the assessment we do with the alleged perpetrator have some criteria, but the main one is accountability.
Yeah,
because we're obviously a changes program, we need someone to like be accountable, and the first barrier people have is called like a wall of denial. So kind of need to get past that wall of denial and accept their accountability. So a lot of the times we go through like the past historic abuse that they've gone through, because in the referral we get like a detailed background of the incidences from police and social care, and then we ask the individual themselves, you know, what's your most recent history of abuse, what's the first act of abuse, and get them to open up about that kind of abuse in the assessment stage helps them on in the program, because in the program it's 26 sessions where we go through a lot of stuff. So we need them to be able to disclose, I did do this, this did happen. So if they don't do that in the assessment stage, then they won't be right for the program.
No. And so the accountability, so seeing actually that they did something that's not acceptable, not like, she called me this, you know.
Yeah.
And we do understand it is hard for someone to say, like, the first time I'm speaking to someone, I'm asking them, what's the worst thing you did to your partner? It is hard to say that, and that is a barrier. So we do understand that. But at the same time, for the course and like the for themselves, once they get over that hurdle, it's a lot easier to talk about a lot of things.
Like Panache said, it can be very difficult for someone to initially admit that I have behaved that way, especially if in their family it's always, people have always, you know, sometimes it can be a cultural thing within a family where, and not even know it's domestic violence, and often society colludes with the perpetrator, and so things that aren't all right, society often makes them seem all right as well. So you know, and for some people it might be the first time they've been told that they're a perpetrator as well, so a lot of things for them to come to terms with, but they have to be able to move on and live a better, more productive, healthier life, really.
Absolutely. I think I said this in the other podcast, but I really want to come along and sit in the corner and just see how you work, to observe. It just sounds phenomenal, the work that you're doing. I really want to just say, keep up the good work. And brilliant. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
So hopefully we'll get to talk to you again at some point in the future, maybe after this trial phase is finished, catch up on how it's going and
yeah, that'd be great.
Can give us an update. All right. Thank you so much for talking to me, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.